Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways, but you are angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. It's as if we're standing next to the prophet, to the poet, as he speaks these words to God. God and the prophet are having a conversation, and we are the onlookers, the passersby who just happen to overhear what's being said. There we are waiting in the line on Black Friday, getting ready to pay for the goods that we've just bought, when there are these two individuals in front of us speaking of things we don't understand, yet in some way we feel connected to the words we hear them saying. It's like the time a few years ago for my birthday when Laurie takes me and Anna Lee to this barbecue place that I've always wanted to go to. And we order and we sit down. And as we're sitting, I kind of lean back in my chair and I begin to overhear the conversation behind me of these three kids. And as I'm listening, I hear them talking about God. I hear them talking about the Church of Christ. And I hear them bringing up a couple of theological words that I understand. And before you know it, I'm leaning further back in my chair because I want to hear what they're saying. And Laurie, who I'm at this point not paying attention to, finally grabs my hand and says, "You desperately want to say something, don't you?" And I said, "Absolutely, I want to say something. Are you hearing what they're saying back there?" And there was so much inside of me that just wanted to interrupt the conversation and say, "Yeah, but." But on they talked. On I listened, keeping this desire inside of me to just say a word. And here we are, standing in this line, hearing this conversation. And as we listen, we have one ear directed toward the conversation with our eyes looking at the Us Weekly magazine so that they don't know that we're being rude. Our emotions are boiling up inside of us. We find ourselves wanting to side with the prophet, wanting to side with this person who is desperately making this plea to this other individual. And we find ourselves underneath our breath saying, "Amen. Amen." Almost surprising ourselves that we're actually responding to what's being said. Because there is something deep inside of us that wants to interrupt this conversation and give our own two cents. We want the person listening to understand what's going on in this world. Nobody goes untouched by the pain and suffering in this world. Somebody needs to hear what's going on here. Doesn't the person, other person in this conversation understand that this world is broken, that there are problems all around us? And we continue to move forward in the line, continuing to listen, continuing to want to speak up. But before we know it, we look up and the individuals are walking out the door. And the person standing in front of us is the cashier. And it's time for us to pay for our goods. And we begin to think in our head, if only I had said this, then maybe the person would have better understood the point. And in the end, we leave, we pay for our goods, and we walk out the door with the faint memory of a conversation still lingering in our heads. And this conversation has left us with a deep sense of longing, a deep sense of waiting. Because you see, waiting is a tiring process. Much like the shopping lines that we're in, we get tired of waiting. How many of us look for the shortest line? How many of us look to see how many things the person in front of us has? Because we know if their basket is full of stuff, we're going to be waiting way too long. Because what waiting does is it forces us to ask questions. We begin to sit there and we begin to look at the stuff we have in our basket. And we begin to just think about life and questions start coming up. Why are we standing in this line with all of this stuff? Do we really need to spend all of this money on these items? And then we start looking at the news racks. Why is God letting all of these things happen? Where is God in all of this? Questions we ask and questions we don't get a response to. Questions we just keep waiting to hear an answer. Because waiting pushes us to the very edge to think and to wonder if all of this is really worth it. Forget the promises, forget the remembrances. It's been too long. Something surely should have happened by now. Going with the flow of society seems a whole lot easier than waiting and expecting and preparing for God to do something. God's plan doesn't seem to be working. And before you know it, despair begins to set in. And the quote I like for despair says this: despair is characterized primarily by the conspicuous absence of theological hope. Humans meet despair when they can't imagine God's promised alternative future. It gets to a point when waiting just gets tiring. When we can't imagine anything different, we go with the routine of the world. And we move into the hurried life that all of us are in today. But when we stop, and when we have to wait, we begin to think about the world. We begin to think that every time we look up, every time we see something, we can't help but notice the pain. We try to turn off the TV, but once we turn off the TV, we get a phone call or a text from a fan, friend, or family member telling us of a new story of hurt. And it feels like peace is somewhere, but it's nowhere. Death seems to be outpacing life. Promises fade in the midst of pain. Hope is fleeting as we look for something to hold on to and continue to find that like sand it slips through our fingers. The longer we wait, the darker it gets. And whatever we do, we cannot escape the tragedy of the world. And so what do? We try to escape it. We try to find a way to shake the darkness from us. We try to find a way to not have to wait for anything. And the world gives us plenty of ways to do this. We don't like to be reminded that we're vulnerable. We don't like to be reminded that there's hurt. And so we find ways to dull the pain. We find the narcotics of the world to dull our pain, whether it's consumerism or narcissism or hopelessness, whatever it is, the world, like a drug pusher, gives us these things and says, take this, do this, buy this, and you won't have to worry about all the things going on in the world. And over the next few weeks, we're going to participate in a lot of this. In the next few weeks, we're going to try to find that next best thing that can ease my pain for the year to come. But this time, at this moment, standing in this line, we hear a different conversation. We hear the impassioned plea of the prophet who says, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so the mountains would quake at your presence." For some reason, in this line today, these words cling to us. They shake us from the slumber that we've been in. We begin to realize there is too much pain. There is too much suffering. And what are we left to do with it? We are left to our questions. But today our questions become something different. Our questions become a desperate plea, like the prophet's plea of God to tear open the heavens. Our questions become a remembering demand to God. How many times have we read in the Old Testament of God doing something mighty? Of God opening up the Red Sea and allowing a people to part through it. Of God having a pillar of cloud and fire for the people to follow. How many times have we read David and Goliath and said, this is what God can do for you? And yet today, our eyes are straining in vain as we attempt to see this visible sign of God's involvement in the world today. As we hear the prophet's words, all too often we see suffering met with divine silence. But yet this day, in this line, we're jolted to remember something else. We're jolted to remember that God has done something. It's easy to get caught up in the darkness. It's easy to sit and just say, what is going on? But what this conversation also has us do is to remember that God has been somewhere, that God is doing something. While it doesn't feel like the Red Sea, and it doesn't feel like a pillar of fire, we have all had our Red Sea moments. We have all had our pillar of fire moments. We have all had God acting in our lives in some way. It's just so many times it feels as if the darkness has overcome it. But as we remember, as we think, we begin to see the sliver of light. We begin to remember when a two-week-old baby named Brock went to the hospital and all seemed hopeless. Hope was nowhere to be found. And we remember that God showed up in the midst of the chaos. Church members, family members, friends, and complete strangers praying and pleading with God on behalf of Brock. We remember this moment as God shaking the mountains. When a church seemed to be on the verge of not finding anyone to come partner with it, when it seemed as if there would be no end in sight, we remember that God showed up to bring healing and peace. For all of us, whether we know it or not, God was doing something. God was looking at our adversaries and defeating our adversaries and saying, I am present. We remember the email just a few weeks ago. Dear brothers and sisters in the Grapevine Church of Christ, we praise the Lord and we thank you for your prayers. Our daughter Ellie was born. My wife and daughter are feeling good. If God's will, tomorrow in the afternoon, we'll be able to go home. We are extremely blessed by such a wonderful family in the Lord who take care of us. Thank you a lot. We love y'all. Be blessed, Zania and family. We remember that God opened up the heavens and we got to know a family from Ukraine. They came here. They were able to have their baby here. We were able to be with them. And in that moment, God became present. And as we realize all of these memories, we respond back. And we respond back to the stranger and we say this, you have done these things before. You have opened up the heavens. We have seen it. We have felt it. So do it again. And with the brokenness of the world all around us, we cling to these Red Sea moments in our lives. We cling to these pillar of cloud moments in the life of the family. These are the moments that we hold on to as a community of God's people. And as we hold on to these moments, we're reminded that God is not done yet, that God's promises are still being fulfilled today, that God is still breaking into the moments, even though circumstances look bleak and at times look impossible. And as the people of God, we fall back on those memories to let us see that the future is possible. We draw on those memories as a source of hope for us today. And so we look at our lives today and said, we have been slumbering too long. We have been caught in the rat race of life too much. We have bought in to what the world says we need to be doing. We have said, we can't wait any longer. We'll do it ourselves. But what we begin to notice if we just stop, what we begin to notice if we just wait, is that God is doing something. That God is moving in this dark world. That God is preparing something for us. And while it seems difficult, and while it means that we're going to have to enter into the dark world yet again, and we're going to have to feel pain and sense suffering, we also have the memories of God breaking in. We also have the thoughts that God can do something. And so in this time that we're in today, we talk about waiting. And waiting is difficult. Waiting is hard. For every kid in here, you only have 26 days until you get to open presents. And 26 days feels a long way away. And that's what makes waiting difficult for us, because we don't like it. We're going to have to live through the moments between now and then. And this is what reminds us that waiting is. Waiting is uncomfortable because waiting is situated between the world gone wrong, a life off track, task undone, and expectations of the world righted, life moving steadily ahead of God's main line. It is the human condition to live in this tension between failure and fulfillment, sin and salvation, trouble and hope. But today we invite you. We invite you into a season of waiting. We invite you into a season of remembering. Of remembering when God opened up the heavens. Of remembering when a child was born into a dark world. Of remembering a child born into oppression and exile and suffering. And in the worst of times, like broke through. And so we wait again. And we wait for the light to break through. And we hear the voice of Isaiah reminding us to remember God's presence with us. And we, along with the prophet, this time, in this conversation, step in We interrupt Isaiah and we say, God, open up the heavens. We have waited too long. God, come quickly. This world needs you. And it's in this moment, as we say this to God, that we also realize that God has been with us this entire time. I close with this. It's a song written by Kelly Hall. I am present in the wait. I bless your longing to recall days of agreement, of certainty, where light roamed freely and we interacted and exchanged effortlessly. Deep inside, the memory is still there. Those days in the womb of Eden, where I fed you and warmed you and attended all your needs, where we touched unceasingly and you truly felt me. Things are different, I know. Rest assured, I bless it. Even during seasons where the light is dim, my presence remains, prompting seers to lead the blind, to take up hands with those paralyzed, and wait for a great unseen. The waters will break, the passageway will open, and just as I promised, he will come. Rest assured, he is coming.